This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
It is a fundamental principle of the Canadian criminal justice system that an accused must possess the capacity to understand that his or her behavior was wrong in order to be found guilty of an offense. No person is criminally responsible for an act committed or an omission made while suffering from a mental disorder that rendered the person incapable of appreciating the nature and quality of the act or omission, or of knowing that it was wrong. While an accused found not criminally responsible on account of mental disorder by a court is not convicted in the usual sense, the verdict does not constitute an acquittal. It represents a unique third option.
A number of Canadians have recently been found not criminally responsible for their crimes due to mental disorder. Recent high-profile and shocking cases include those of Vince Lee in Manitoba and Kimberly Ruth Noyes in British Columbia, each killed while in the grip of mental illness, and each was found not criminally responsible due to their mental condition at the time. How has Canadian society responded? We are joined by Christopher Schneider, an assistant professor of sociology with University of British Columbia. Welcome to People First Radio, Christopher.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us more about the not criminally responsible due to mental condition concept.
Well, the first thing to point out that I think is very important is that this idea of not criminally responsible, or what was formerly referred to as insanity, is a legal concept. Insanity is a legal concept. And so, you know, the criminal code provisions that created the not criminally responsible defense, which was the insanity defense back in the 1890s, this was codified in that. And so recently, of course, this has been changed to not criminally responsible on account of mental disorder, moving away from not guilty due to insanity. The previous version of Section 16 of the Criminal Code in this way made it possible that a person was not necessarily the perpetrator of that offense, not guilty by reason of insanity. And so that's why that wording was problematic. And so it changed in the way that it must be demonstrated that the person who committed the action is the perpetrator of the act, but not responsible under the law because of mental disorder. You know, hence this not criminally responsible. The one thing to point out, too, is that the law, despite what people may believe, is not always nor necessarily in tune with perceived issues of justice, fairness, and equality. And this is especially the case with the victims' families. And the law is also not necessarily a catalyst of social change. It is often merely a product of moral entrepreneurs that are able to induce moral panics. These terms are associated with Howie Becker and Stanley Cohen, respectively.
In Manitoba, Vince Lee was found not criminally responsible for the unprovoked killing and beheading of a fellow Greyhound bus passenger, Timothy McLean. Last spring, Vince Lee was granted outdoor escorted walks at the mental health facility he's being held at, and that decision itself made national news. Carol Dedelli, Timothy McLean's mother, told CBC News, "When you do what he did, you should be locked up for the rest of your natural life, period. My son's human rights were violated in the most horrific manner, and that's completely disregarded and forgotten. And they're all concerned about Mr. Lee's human rights." Tell us more about the concept of justice and victims' rights in these kinds of cases, Christopher.
Well, these cases are extremely high profile, and so when you start thinking about the social response to it, it tends to be rather large or magnified. When we think about the not criminally responsible argument or defense in Canada, it's real easy for us to read a ruling like this and become upset, primarily because we don't have, or we lack the information as a society, as a people, to make an informed decision about what it is that's going on here. And so when we think about, you know, this defense, they must convincingly argue that a defendant was incapable of appreciating what's referred to as the nature or quality of the act that was committed. And so they bring in often a psychiatrist that assesses the not criminally responsible issue. And there are a variety of things the psychiatrist will go over. They'll look at the Crown's file, which includes police reports, things like witness and victim statements. They will assess previous psychiatric records. They'll look at an autopsy report, of course, if it's applicable, and in these cases it was. They will do a clinical interview with the accused. They will examine the mental status of the accused. It's very, very in-depth. Often the public are, well, always the public are not privy to these data. And so it becomes difficult, if not impossible, for us to make a critically informed decision about why somebody would receive the not criminally responsible verdict. And so the people who are coming up with these are smart, intelligent, you know, educated women and men. And so it's not just, you know, random people letting these people off. Arguing the, if we want to call it the insanity defense, the not criminally responsible defense, is very, very difficult. We tend to hear about it, so it receives a very high profile in pop culture and media reports. And so people erroneously assume that these individuals are invoking this defense to quote, get away with murder. But in large part, that's definitely not the case.
An overnight standoff in Vancouver that began on Tuesday ended safely after a man who was reportedly mentally ill took a boy hostage at a community center on East Hastings Street. Vancouver Mayor Gregor Robertson said in a news release, "The incident last night raises some tough questions about the state of mental health prevention and care in Vancouver and throughout the province. This man had a history of mental health issues and involvement in violent incidents, which raises serious questions about why he was in a community center. The city will be asking provincial authorities for answers on why this man was out on the street. There are several outstanding questions that we need answered, both to understand how this happened and how to prevent it from happening again." Tell us more about perceptions of mental illness, violence, and the impact of this incident.
Well, the perceptions, again, to reiterate, of mental illness, I think are very skewed by and in media reports. And this does not suggest that the media institutions are, you know, purposefully skewing these ideas, but rather they're reporting on, again, very high profile and, what is often the case, very rare instances of these kind of mental illnesses. And these are the ones that become spotlighted in media reports. And then people start to assume, again, erroneously, that this is what, you know, people with mental disorder or defect are like. And so when we think about the not criminally responsible, for a person being found not criminally responsible to receive an absolute discharge, it could be rare. You know, something like Vincent Lee. In this instance, Vincent Lee, the Manitoba, the individual who decapitated another individual in the Greyhound bus, this individual, Vincent Lee, could be incarcerated, held captive for his entire life. What happens is he goes up every single year before a provincial review board, and they review his status. And so they say, okay, either they will strip, you know, this designation on him and release him as an absolute discharge, which could happen, which is what's alarming for people because, again, these cases tend to be extremely high profile. What's interesting about that is, you know, when we demonstrate to the review board or that somebody like Vincent Lee would no longer be a risk and others to the public, you know, this is the, I think in a nutshell, the absolute demonstration of the rehabilitation model that we as a society preach via incarceration. You go into prison and you become rehabilitated and then you are let out again. And this is exactly what we're doing. This is exactly the kind of model as Canadians that we wish to have in our correctional institution. And when we engage in this practice, you know, it remains extremely controversial. And one question I think we need to ask or consider is that, do we trust our government? Do we trust our corrections? Do we trust these provincial boards to make appropriate and informed decisions in some instances to allow absolute discharge? And if we don't trust our government and don't trust these boards, you know, that becomes a whole entire issue, I think a separate issue that needs to be addressed.
Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today, Chris. It was very much appreciated.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Dr. Christopher Schneider is an assistant professor of sociology with University of British Columbia. His research focuses on culture, deviance, and social control. You can find him online at chrisschneider.org.
This is People First Radio, only on CHOY 101.7 FM and streaming at CHOY.ca.
We're talking about the not criminally responsible on account of mental disorder option, as it is used in Canada's criminal justice system and as it's viewed by Canadian society. It is a fundamental principle of the Canadian criminal justice system that an accused must possess the capacity to understand that his or her behavior was wrong in order to be found guilty of an offense. While an accused found not criminally responsible on account of mental disorder by a court is not convicted in the usual sense, the verdict does not constitute an acquittal. It represents a unique third option. Brittany Thiessen studies criminal justice, sociology, and psychology at the University of Winnipeg. Her specific interests include the impact and effects of imprisonment, rehabilitative and restorative justice, and the ineffectiveness of prisons. Brittany writes an online blog called Crime and Justice, and she is a spokesperson for the University of Winnipeg Criminal Justice Students Association. Brittany Thiessen joins us from Winnipeg over the telephone. Welcome to People First Radio, Brittany.
Hi.
Vince Lee's murder of Tim McLean on a Greyhound bus in Manitoba was not only a tragedy, it became a sensational news story about crime, mental illness, human rights, and society. You write in your online blog, quote, "The majority of the public is ignorant and uneducated regarding the severity of Vince Lee's mental illness. They are advocating for execution, deportation, imprisonment, and denial of human rights, which are all merely revenge, not justice. Lee's actions were unintentional, and his disorder is to blame." Tell us more about your comments.
I believe that he did not appreciate the consequences of his actions, and that his acts were unintentional and uncontrollable due to his mental illness. So I don't think that imprisonment and anything more than that is justifiable.
You've written that public opinion should never trump knowledgeable opinion, and that forgiveness is the only way to move past the horrible experiences associated with Tim McLean's death. Tell us more about society's capacity for forgiveness.
I think society does have a capacity to forgive, but with a mental illness and with a crime committed in regard to a mental illness, it's hard for society to accept that they can't blame, because punishment is not justifiable when your actions are not voluntary. They have to be voluntary to be blameworthy. And I think that's hard for the public to accept that.
How does the concept of human rights apply to the individuals affected by horrific crimes like these?
Well, I think everyone deserves to have their human rights upheld and respected, regardless of what they did, and everyone deserves to be treated in a respectful and humane manner, and that includes Vince Lee and anyone else who is convicted of a crime due to mental illnesses.
Brittany, we have just a moment left. Is there anything else you'd like to add to our conversation today?
I think that it's very important for the public to get informed about mental illnesses and how they can contribute to crime, and what society can do about that, and how treatment can really be beneficial to these individuals as opposed to imprisonment.
Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. We really appreciate it.
Brittany Thiessen studies criminal justice, sociology, and psychology at the University of Winnipeg. Brittany writes an online blog called Crime and Justice, and she's a spokesperson for the University of Winnipeg Criminal Justice Students Association. You can find Brittany Thiessen's blog at crimeandjusticecanada.blogspot.com. And for the last word today, audio from a television program called Court TV. Ontario lawyer Joseph Neuberger clarifies the not criminally responsible due to mental illness defense.
Our focus is tonight, everybody has been talking about this since last week, the NCR, or not criminally responsible defense due to mental illness. Tim McLean's mother, as we said, is hoping to be able to join us by phone from Manitoba a little later, but right now I'm here with criminal defense lawyer Joe Neuberger. He also sits on the Ontario Review Board, which makes decisions about NCR cases here in Ontario. Welcome, Joe, and I know you've also defended many individuals charged with murder based on the not criminally responsible.
Yeah, so charged with murder and other violent offenses.
And other violent offenses. All right. I think what we have to do right away is so we can set the plate here for the discussion, because there is a perception, and I guess understandably so, that somehow being found not criminally responsible is a form of leniency, supposed to somebody who is in the system and is gets sent to jail on a first-degree murder, no parole eligibility for 25 years. Why don't you clear that up right away?
It's not. And frankly, our law is premised to a large extent on intent. If you have the mental intent to commit the crime, what happens with people who suffer from serious debilitating mental illness do not have the intent to commit the crime according to the actual charge that they have before them. So in this case, murder is not this individual who thought he was killing another human being who was just on the bus with him and he just felt that day that he wanted to kill this individual. Unfortunately, he suffered from a very serious mental illness in which he thought that there was a demon and that he was compelled to do this as a result of that mental illness. So this individual is suffering and laboring under this type of defect. He does not have the intent for what would be normally first or second degree murder. This is by no means leniency. They have to go into a mental health system. These systems have security ratings, minimum, medium, maximum. And somebody who suffers from such a mental illness right. may be in this system for quite a while.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.